Well, good morning, everyone. At least yesterday was a bit cooler. Today got a bit warmer. But what I have noticed is that it stays darker for longer. Have you noticed? When you get up at 4, it's dark still. You know? You're all saying, you do what?
Yeah.
And it's quiet. It's amazing how quiet it is early in the morning. Even the birds are sleeping, and I turn the light on in the lounge just so I can make my coffee, and they're like, Grandpa, what are you doing? Are you mad? Anyway, but I have noticed it's got darker. Winter's on its way. Thank goodness. I'm a winter guy, not a summer guy. I don't like summer. I used to when I was younger, but now that I'm a little bit more fuller, I like the cold. I really like the cold. But anyway, Good Friday, 2 weeks away. So Good Friday, we do here, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's called our sunrise service. That's why I was telling you it's still dark in the morning. I'm trying to justify why it's 8 o'clock sunrise service. But Good Friday, 8 o'clock here at the church. Bring camping chairs. We'll have it outside here. If it's raining or bad weather, we'll just come inside. It's so nice. And so please don't wake up and go, oh, there's a little bit of drizzle in the air. Come on. 8 o'clock, Good Friday. It's also a bring and share hot cross bun morning. Okay, so we do hot cross buns. You bring and share. We'll have butter and jam. Yeah, or just butter. But we'll see. But bring the hot cross buns. Just bring the hot cross buns. And if you are visiting this morning, hey, Ben. See, we're making a thing about Ben. But let me tell you, Ben's my Build It guy. You know, I often bump into people at Build It and I invite them to church. Ben took up the cause. Hey, Ben, you're a champion. Hey? And that's the justification I've got to going to Build It often. So that's it. It's not to buy tools or just a bag of bolts or something. You know what I mean? Let me just say, you can never have too many tools or too many bolts. I just want to say, get that out there right now. Yeah. And so if you are visiting, and we'd love to say, how's it my China to you? And so if you'd like to say, how's it my China back? Meet and greet, please come there. We'd love to connect a little visitor's pack to give you as well. But as we say hello to new faces, we're also saying goodbye to some old faces. And Kyle and Ray felt the tug of God to challenge them in greater ways in their spiritual walk and in their gifting. And so we're saying goodbye to them this morning. Carl, Ray, come up. I know what you're thinking. Those are not old faces. Those are fresh faces. Listen, they've been with us a long time. And so they're old faces. Are you guys not going together? Yeah, you guys been fighting this morning. What's going on? Carl and Ray, when you came to the elders and asked us to release you from Graceville because you felt God was challenging you to bigger things, you reminded me of the story of Abraham. When God said to him, listen, Abe, pack up your stuff, your family, your servants. Leave where you've become comfortable and where you're secure and go that way. And as you go, I will show you which way to turn. And so it's a courageous thing you're doing. Don't stress over the final destination. Just be faithful in the journey. And the destination will reveal itself in good time. When God says go and doesn't reveal the final destination, doesn't mean he doesn't know the final destination. It means he wants you to trust him in how he gets you there. Esty said an amazing thing when I told her. Carl and Ray had come and spoken to us as elders on the Sunday morning a while back. And so in the afternoon, I was chatting with Est, and I told her, and her response was spot on for my babe. She said, Brad, the chicks are old enough to leave the nest. She said, what a privilege we've had in raising them. God's calling them to fly. And I think that just sums up how I feel about you guys. It's been a privilege to have you in our church and to be part of everything we've done. And I'm excited for you guys. Man, I'm going to miss you guys, but I'm excited. God's calling you to fly. I felt there's a scripture for you guys. And it's about he will complete the good work. It's in 1 Philippians 1:6-7. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And I love this. So it is right that I should feel about you as I do. And I feel deeply for you guys. But I also know that God said, come, it's time to fly. For you have a special place in my heart. And so I know there's a few other people that want to say a few things. Jason?
Yeah. So a bittersweet day. Not that we're not going to ever see you again, because you are good friends. I hope you'll still visit. Not at church, our house. Don't worry about you. No, I'm kidding. First and foremost, thank you guys. I want to honor you in front of everyone. You've been exemplary in your commitment and serving at Grace Hill. I know your gifting has been worship, but everywhere else. Any chance you got to get stuck in, you would get stuck in. Every carol service, moving stages and equipment. Every other opportunity when someone wanted some music at a wedding, you were there playing the piano and singing. Any chance you got, you were there alongside our servant. So a huge, huge thank you. I think it's been 11 years that you've been with us. We've had the privilege of watch you grow. As Mom said, it was the chicks are ready to leave the nest. Kyle started with us when he was at a brisk age of 15 and a half. And ever since, you've just been stuck in and committed, and we've had the privilege of watching you grow. Tough times, easy times, good times, sad times. We've watched you finish school. We've watched you finish study. We've watched you get married. It's been such an awesome privilege to be a part of your lives and such an awesome privilege that you've been able to be alongside us serving. So I really want to thank you first and foremost. And from the worship team as well, you've been an absolute blessing. What I felt for you is you're in a new season. We've been chatting about it a little bit. Not quite sure which season it is, but you're in a new season. It's all new. And I was drawn to Joshua when he took over the Israelites going into the promised land. God gave him some command, and he tells him to be courageous. And he ends by saying, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. And I want to focus on the wherever you may go, because as Brad said, it's not about the destination, but the journey, and be faithful that God will find that place for you. And alongside that, Psalm 1, the psalmist speaks about being prosperous and fruitful in every season if you keep your eyes fixed on God.
Yeah, amen.
It says they're like trees planted along the riverbank bearing fruit in each season. Their lives never wither, and they prosper in all they do. And I just want to encourage you guys, on the journey that you go on, wherever you might land up, keep your eyes fixed on God. Your gifting will shine when he's got you in the right place. Don't worry about how long that might take, but as you said, you wanted to be challenged, and just trust that God will find that right place for you, and you will be fruitful in every season and be prosperous in every season, no matter where you go. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, guys.
Amen.
I won't be like as fluent with my words like as Jason. But yeah, we are all just so grateful for how you have served us and loved us and loved every single person in this church. And you have put your time and, yeah, so much love has been here in the years that you've been. And yeah, you're such blessings, and we will really miss you in the church, but we know that our friendship will continue, that we're not going to lose that. So Psalms 139 verse 7-10 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, that even there your hand will guide me. And just to say that wherever you go, he'll be there. He's following you, he's leading you, and I don't think you can ever escape him. So I know that how much you have been blessed here, wherever you go, he will be there and he'll be blessing you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah, I've just got a quick word for you guys. Excuse my voice, I've been a bit sick lately.
Barry White.
Yeah. But yeah, I think a lot's obviously been said about how much you guys have served and how pivotal you've been in the growth of the church. So yeah, I just want to honor and thank you guys for that again. It's really been a privilege playing alongside you guys, serving with you. And we'll miss you guys, but again, we'll see you guys very often. And the scripture that came to me just as I was thinking about this morning was from Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. It says, "May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace." And we know the path ahead of you guys is blessed. And wherever you end up, it's God anointed.
Yeah, amen. Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Regan. Thank you. That's fine. Babe, you got Michigan. It's Michigan.
I've already had my cry with you, so I'm not going to repeat what I've said.
Hey, you're doing silent cries here. Why wasn't I there?
But I just did want to give you a scripture from Isaiah 40, verse 30. And possibly you'll identify with this. Even the youths will grow weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Amen.
Just sending you off on the wings of eagles.
Amen.
I know it's been a tired season, but I think God wants to lift you on his wings and give you strength. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo what Regan said. Yeah, thanks for allowing me to play alongside you. Oh, wait. You have high standards. No, I'm joking. No, it has. It's been an honor and a privilege to watch this young couple grow. It's always great when you see that. And so I'd just like to say to you guys, and some of my scripture references were stolen already, so I'm not going to pick on any, but just, it's just this. The Spirit of God will lead you where the Spirit needs you.
Thank you, David. Yeah, we did. We all did keep it together until now.
It's not a goodbye unless there's tears, man. So yeah, just that, as you remain faithful, as you remain pressed in, the Spirit of God will lead you where he needs you. Amen?
Yeah, thank you, David. Thank you. I wonder if the elders could come up. I'd like to pray for them. Come. Let's just pray for these guys. You see, that's what family is about. It's about raising, and it's about letting them go. And so, Father, I want to thank you for Ray and for Carl. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we've had to raise them in this local church. And, Father, we now release them. We release them into your hands. Father, we pray you would direct them, that you would speak to them, that each day that you would go before them. And your word says you go before them, and you're behind them, and you're next to them. You surround them, I pray. And Father, we just pray that the journey would be the main thing, not the destination. And Lord, in that journey, I pray, increase their faith. Man, speak to them. Love them, I pray. So we release them in Jesus' name. We release them into your hands. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you. Well, this week we started again with the Gospel of Mark. And so as this was the second time we're reading through the Gospel of Mark, I'm reading a little bit differently. So I'm reading it looking specifically at how those who came face to face with Jesus changed. Some, do you know that some didn't? And some did. And so I do believe that when we know someone personally, in my mind, it makes all the difference. I remember a few years ago, Esther and I were in a local spa getting a few things. And as the custom, I sometimes go with Est, but at the entrance, as we go in, we part ways. I go to the biltong, raw meat and pickled onions, and Est goes to the things we really need in order to survive. And so, anyway, I'd managed to look at a few things, and I was wondering, I wonder if I could slip them in the basket. And I saw Est, we're in the cheese aisle. Est is looking at cheese, and I saw her there. And so I thought, hey, let me go and maybe slip this meat into the basket. And she was looking at the price of the cheese. I knew it was her because I recognized the jeans and the blouse. And so I was walking up and I went to give the compulsory spa hug. You know, we hug and then I slip the meat in the basket. That's how you do it. But as I was doing that, at the corner of my eye, I saw Esty. Praise the Lord, I didn't do the hug because I didn't know that lady from a bar of soap. And I would not have managed an apology. Because when I hug, I do the intimate hug, you know, like really hug my babe. That it would have been horrible. See, but that's knowing someone personally. And so, in preparation for this week, I came across an article written about the person of Christ. I'm going to read it to you. It said, the most important example in all of history of someone who did not publish any books, did not have his own television show, did not have Facebook or Twitter, did not appear on Larry King Live or on Oprah, died young, and yet made an impact on the world all out of proportion to his short life. That man was Jesus Christ. He was about 33 years old when he was crucified. Today, approximately 2.3 billion people call themselves Christian because of his life, death, and resurrection. Key to this impact is two things. First and most important was who he was. Being who he was created a movement in the world that has been irrepressible. It was not his writing. He did not write. It was his person. His spoken words and his actions. His presence in the world was inescapable and unendingly powerful. Secondly, is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, and Jude portrayed his person and work in writing. They did write, but by means of those writings, the reality and truth and power and beauty of the Son of God can be known to us today. If there had been no person, there would have been no books. And if there had been no books, we would not know the person Jesus Christ, and we would be lost. I wonder if you can turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 to 6. Verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put in chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. So Jesus and his disciples come across in a boat. Overnight, they come across the Sea of Galilee. As they land on the shore, this demon-possessed man comes and rushes towards Jesus and falls at his feet. And in verses 7 to 14, describes Jesus casting out the demons, and the man is healed from demonic oppression. And I want to pick it up from verse 15 to 20. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Can you imagine? Eh? The dippy guy is now dippy no longer. A guy that has been running around and causing havoc in your village is there sitting like you never before. Like he's a perfectly normal person. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. Remember, Jesus said to the demons, go to the pigs. They thought, whoo, we're free. And Jesus chased all the pigs into the Sea of Galilee. So, there, take that. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. 1, 2, 3, block myself. Do you know what you're doing? Someone who does that, you don't want away, you want him there. Some commentators have said, you know why they didn't want Jesus there anymore? He didn't want them to throw more pigs into the Sea of Galilee because that was their income. They were like, oh, I had a business, now I don't. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. So would I. Here's a guy who set you free. I want to go with you. Jesus said, no. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been. No, my butt. I need you to go home. I want you to tell people about what's happened. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. So here in the first few verses of Mark chapter 5, we read of this man. His home is the place of the dead. He lives in a cemetery. There's no life in his home, full of dead people. He himself is home to unclean spirits, to the demonic. He probably survived by eating the food left for the dead people. This was Decapolis. They were pagan. They would leave things on the graves of the dead people. It was their custom to leave food and stuff like that. And so he would eat that food. His tattered clothing was symbolic of his life. Shattered. He was tormented so much that he cut himself with sharp stones. And the local community was afraid of him. He even tried to chain him. He'd been condemned to live out his days alone amongst decaying flesh of the dead. No one to love him and no one for him to love. It's for me one of the greatest torments anyone could ever face. We are created in the image of God, which means we are created to love and to be loved. Both are the makeup of your and my creation. To love and to be loved. When we hold back love, we not only damage those who we're not loving, but in holding back the love, we hurt ourselves as well. By withholding our love for others, we the ones who begin to unravel. Because we're going against the very thing God created us for, to love. Love's personal. It's the reason the Apostle John reminds us, 1 John 4, 7 and 12. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And so when you look at this account of the demon-possessed man, this is what I see. A man who had been set free from demonic oppression, demonic possession. Yes, I see a man who came and put his faith in Jesus. I see a man whose life has been transformed. I see a man who has been given new life. And I see a man who was able to go home and give love to his family and to receive love from his family. We read in verse 18 that the man begged to go with Jesus, and that's logical. And Jesus says to him, no, go home to your family. Go home, tell them everything. And so it says the man went off and visited the 10 towns, that region. Decapolis is for 10, 10 towns in that region. He began to proclaim what Jesus has done for him. Everyone was amazed. Jesus saying, go home. Love your family. Tell them what God has done for you. After many years of abandonment, this man could finally love and receive love. This result, the result of his personal encounter with Jesus, that was previously a damaged and unloved man. Do you know that he became the first missionary of the New Testament? We read it later on. Jesus comes back to that area 8 months' time, between 8 months and a year. It's in Mark 7. So between Mark 5 and Mark 7 is about 8 to 12 months. Jesus goes back a year later. And from Mark 7:31 to Mark 8:21, we read of Jesus healing many people in the Decapolis, those 10 towns that earlier, remember, that asked Jesus to leave. He came back. They were, Jesus, come. What happened? Well, the man who was set free by demonic depression stayed home. And remember, it says he went to the 10 towns. He began to tell people about Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came back, they were ready to listen to him. First missionary of the New Testament. A man so possessed that people were afraid of him. That's what happens when we come face to face with the love of Christ. In this personal encounter, he experienced love, but then he was able to love others. And so Jesus has said to us, the love I've given to you, show to others. It comes from him first. Apostle John says a bit more in 1 John 3:18. Let's not merely say that we love each other. He says, don't just say it. Don't just say I love you. Let us show the truth by our actions. Show the truth by our actions. Let me close with this. When we come face to face with Christ and experience his love, we are set free and given the gift of love to love others. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. Those are immaterial things. You can't grasp them. Did you know? Did you see that? Faith, hope, and love. They're not things you can grasp physically. But Paul says, these three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so if you're here this morning, I want to say with all the sincerity in my heart, if you've been a chop, husband, wife, children, if you know you've held back your love from your spouse, from your children, from those that you need to be loving, can I just say this? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And because he loves you, we are called to love other people. Jesus has touched us personally. You know what Jesus said? He said, they will know you. They will know you. Not because you sit in a building at Grace Hill. They will know you by your love for one another. By your love for one another. And so wives, Mr. Grumpy that sometimes gets on your nerves, he loves you more than you know. Mrs. Longface, sometimes he says you're getting under his skin. I want to tell you, husbands, Mrs. Longface loves you more than you realize. Allow Jesus' love to set you free this morning. I want to encourage every single one of us in the days and weeks and months to come. God's love is going to be so important. Dave touched on it. We've got a world in turmoil. People are looking everywhere for answers. I'm going to say this to you. The love of Christ is the answer. Because the love of Christ brings peace. in a world of turmoil. Amen? I wonder if we can bow our heads. I'd love to pray for us. I'd love to pray for us, yeah. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, I pray for you to help us. Help us to receive your love so that we're able to love others. I ask you to help us this morning, Lord. Touch us. Touch us with your love, that it will transform us. I pray, Father, touch us with your love, that we're able to love the unlovable. Touch us with your love this morning, Lord, that people will know, they belong to Jesus. So, Lord, I want to bless your name this morning. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever puts their faith in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.